Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm. Thank you so much for pushing play on another episode, and welcome to all of our new subscribers. It's so great to have you here. So today's podcast is going to be hopefully super duper helpful for those of you who have questions about, you know, protocols around following up with inquiries with prospective clients, and also what to do in terms of following up with clients who have simply disappeared. They've vanished, they've stopped communicating with you, perhaps you're feeling ghosted, things like that. And of course, we're going to be looking at this through the lens of alignment, because that's what we're all about, right? We're creating a private practice with soul. So that is going to be the framework. So the questions that popped up in the group were these. The first one was, how do you feel about following up with prospective clients? My initial thought was to wait for them to re-engage, but I'd love to know your thoughts. Okay, so that was the first question. And this is such an important question because it's something we all ask ourselves, especially when we're just starting private practice. So I guess the first thing to do is look at, you know, what are your practice values? And we've done a podcast on this before, but for those of you who are new to the show, I don't think it's enough to say very general, vague practice values. I think we're all going to agree with the general vague ones. If you don't have clarity around your specific practice values, then that would be where to start, because those values are going to drive how you show up in the practice and how the practice operates. And we can't align the practice to something that's not there or that you're not consciously aware of. So to give you an example, when I ask women in private practice about, oh, what are your practice values? They'll say, oh, to be ethical and to help people, and I want to work with trauma and stuff like provide a safe space. All that's great, but it's kind of so vague and so general that it's going to make it hard for you to run your practice in total alignment. I would ask you, go deeper. And you can go deeper in a few ways. You could do that by asking yourself, you know, a safe space so that, or a safe space because, or a safe space in order to, right? So go deeper, deeper, deeper. It's like, you know, in CBT, how we learn about the downward arrow technique, where we have a belief and then we say, you know, and what's so bad about that? And you say, what's so bad about that belief? And then you say, and what does that mean? And you put a meaning onto that. And then you say, and what's so bad about that? And then what does that mean? And what's, and eventually you get to your emotional end point. You can use that exact same process when it comes to looking at your practice values. Really think about the things that you uniquely want to be able to embody with the business and have the client experience at different touch points throughout the business. So a touch point is just any time a client has contact with you, whether it's by phone, email, your website, a session with you, a follow-up. Think about how you want to use those values as your North Star, as your anchor points to help those clients feel the way that you really, really want them to feel, whether that's safe, secure, trusted, authentic, all those sorts of things. So step one is get really, really clear about your values. Step two is to get really, really clear about how you feel about following up and what's the meaning that you attribute to following up. What is the self-talk or that inner monologue that goes through your mind when you consider following up? That's going to be different for all of us. Some of us will be thinking, oh, I don't want to push anybody to do anything with me if they're not really ready. And so there might be some resistance there. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. And we just want to explore that a little bit more. So ask yourself, why am I feeling resistant about this? What's coming through for me now when I think that it's not okay to follow up, that it's icky or it's pushy and I don't want to push anybody? Where's that coming from? Is this reality? And how can I shift this belief? What would I rather say about what it means to follow up with somebody? For others of you, it may just be that you don't have a process in place around your follow-ups. In which case, now would be a really great time for you to create one. And that's going to be different for every practice because the values of every practice are going to be different. I can share what I do. So I, in terms of my appointments with people, I have set up an auto email. Like I automate as much as I can of my practice because I love to just be present and doing the actual work. You know, I'm not so great on admin. I don't want to waste my time on that. So I automate everything. But I do have an automated email that goes out through my Acuity diary. And I think it goes, I set it to go out the day after an appointment, just as a gentle reminder for people to follow up and rebook. So that seems to work. But the other thing that I do in terms of following up with inquiries is I do send outside of that Acuity email, I do send clients a follow-up based on what we've discussed because I just want to do a little bit of a recap for them and provide them with any information that they may have asked me for in that meeting that will help them make a decision about whether or not they want to work with me. And sometimes too, I will just send them a little email with something free that's not going to cost them anything, but will help them get a quick win because I want them to see what's possible when they take action. And oftentimes it's that inaction that keeps them stuck. You know, that's their comfort zone. The other thing that I do with a follow-up is I will always send somebody a little voice message. Now, that's because my clients are you guys, and so most of you are on Facebook or we connect on Voxer. And so I love a voice message because it just feels so much more aligned with me. I think it's really personal and I want to give my clients that sense that they're my only client and I want them to feel supported and I want them to feel like I'm here and I'm a real person and, you know, I'm not just a email in the inbox. So if your clients are, you know, clients of online groups that you've got and you've connected with them in some kind of online space, I would definitely be sending them a voice message on Messenger or Voxer, just checking in with them and following up and letting them know that you're thinking of them, that you're here. But also if they're not on social, if they're counseling clients, then I would pick up the phone and give them a call. And you want to create a process that feels really comfortable and really, really aligned with you. I think one of the things that can happen is that we think, oh, it's going to be a sales call and oh, don't like selling and stuff like that. But again, I think this is just an opportunity for you to see what's coming through for you, what that inner monologue is telling you, and use this as an opportunity to grow through it. Because I don't see follow-up calls as sales calls. I don't see them as you convincing somebody to take an action they don't want. It's not about you. It's about your client and it's about holding space for your client. And so if you were going to give them a follow-up call, I would be touching base with them for them about them. And that means, you know, following up with them and just saying, hey, how are you feeling after our call the other day? You know, I was thinking of you and I was thinking about what you mentioned with respect to A, B, and C. And I was thinking this might be of help for you. You know, have you heard of, I don't know, a Metta meditation or have you heard of the Smiling Mind app or have you got the Insight Timer app? It's free and it's got all of these things. So I would give them something that's going to support them achieving their goal. And just let them see that you know what you're doing, that you're a resource, and let them see that you care, and take any other action that would be a full embodiment of your practice values or your dominant practice value. So don't get on there and say, you need to book an appointment and this is how much it's going to cost. And don't. Let them come to you. But in that follow-up, make it all about them. Okay. And then the second question that came through was, what do you do to re-engage someone who stops responding? So an example was provided in the group. And the example was that somebody had seen a client. And this counselor had followed up twice with the client by email just to check in, see how she was going, all of that sort of stuff, but wasn't getting any real reply yet. And she wanted to know, you know, was she missing something? Should she be doing something else? And she was sort of saying, you know, do I send them a little follow-up survey or should I try another time, just one more time, give it one last time to contact them? What do I do? So here's what to do. First off, you want to create some sort of agreement in that initial contact. So I don't know whether or not this lady had a session. I think she had a session with a client. But in that session, you want to book the next session and get confirmation of that. It's like when I work with you guys, I always say, have you booked your next appointment? And you've got the diary link and you can go in and you can book your next appointment. You get a confirmation email straight away. It's got three buttons in it. From memory, one says cancel, the other says reschedule, and the other says something else. I can't, or add to calendar. So, you know, my clients can easily just go to that email, and if they need to reschedule, they can just reschedule it themselves. If they need to cancel it, they can do that. But I always want to make sure that they're leaving an appointment with that next appointment booked. And the reason I do that is because one of my values is to not let people fall through the cracks. At the end of the day, I work with women who are professionals. All of these women are psychologists, social workers, and counselors. It's therefore not my job to remind people to make appointments. It's their responsibility. And that's written into all of, you know, when they sign up with me, they see all of that in their welcome kits and their onboarding and, you know, emails and this sort of stuff in their portal. So it's not my job to go chasing people down to make appointments. I have to respect my clients, the professional women. They signed up for this knowing that they're going to have an appointment once a month or whatever it is, three times a month, twice a month, and they're going to go and make those appointments themselves. But I do want to make sure that they have made them. And so at the end of Zoom, I will recap the session with my clients and I'll say, have you booked your next session? And they'll say, no, I haven't. And I'll say, okay, let's just go and do that now. Because I want them to know, A, that I'm keeping an eye on them because I want them to feel like they're not alone. So I want to be that safety net. Second of all, I want to encourage them to take responsibility for their appointments and empower them to do that by giving them access to the diary and all those different links so that they can manage their sessions. But also because I think it feels better to know that you've got an appointment coming up. You know, I think a lot of the time, some women in private practice, doesn't matter what professional background you're from, some women in private practice hesitate to book the next session with a client because not anything that the client's done, but because of the thoughts that the woman experiences herself. And so I think really it's around being aware of your own mindset around rebooking and what that means. And for example, you know, women have said to me in the past, oh, I don't want to rebook because what if they can't afford it? Or I don't want to rebook, you know, for a month in advance with my next client because she doesn't really know what her diary is going to be looking like in 4 weeks' time. And I think we just make up all these excuses and we have all of these beliefs that sabotage us, that stop us from getting from point A to point B. And so until you know what's going on for you around those beliefs with rebooking, it's going to be very hard for you to create change. I think you absolutely need to create a process that feels aligned with your values around booking clients' appointments. So whether you're like me and you want to give that responsibility to your clients and then you just check in with them at the end of each session to make sure that session is booked, you can absolutely do that. If you want to make the appointments for them, you can do that, but I don't think that's very empowering for your client. That's just my opinion, of course. But if you want your clients to do it, maybe you need to teach your clients how to use your booking system. Maybe you want to send them a little reminder, check that you've got confirmation SMSs or confirmation emails going out, check that you can see if a client has actually opened or read your email. So a lot of email platforms now will give you like even Halaxy, you know, it's a client relationship management platform, a CRM or a practice management platform. You can jump into Halaxy and you can check all the emails that you've sent clients and it will say whether it was sent, whether it was delivered, whether it was opened, you know, and that's really handy information for you to see because if you're sending them and they're not getting opened, well, it could be that they're going to the client's spam folder. You know, it's not that the client is necessarily ghosting you or avoiding you. It could just be that they're unaware that you've been sending them emails. If you can see that the client has received and opened your emails and they're still not responding, well, it's something different again, isn't it? I always think it's better to pick up the phone than to send an email. I don't know about you, but if you were a client of mine and I was following up with you, what would your experience be if you got an email from me saying, you know, hi, Sally, I noticed that you hadn't booked an appointment. You know, this is a friendly reminder to go ahead and book it. What's your experience of receiving that versus me giving you a call and saying, hey, Sally, it's Brooklyn. How's everything going? Oh, Brooklyn, hi, how are you? You know, it's great to hear from you. Yes, you too. How's everything going after our last conversation? Oh, yeah, it's been going good. I'm super busy. I'm so sorry I haven't booked an appointment. Well, that's exactly why I was calling you. You are on my mind. I'm looking at my diary right now and I can see that you haven't got one booked. So I just wanted to check in on you and see, you know, where you're at the moment. Yes, I do need to see you. Thank you so much for calling me. When are you free? Okay, let's have a look at the diary and we book it in on the phone. That's how does that experience sit for you as a client versus reading an email? Probably you prefer to get that little phone call. So anyway, that's how I would handle it. I think always tune in and see what feels right for you. So doing that inner work again, you know, we spoke about it before, tuning into your body. When things feel off, it's because things are misaligned, they're out of alignment. So all we need to do to find out what would be in alignment is to ask that inner guidance, ask our higher mind, ask our higher self, whatever you want to call that energy, ask source, ask God, whatever you want to call it. For me, I put my hand on my chest, I settle my breath, and I just simply ask, you know, myself, what do I need to do right now? What would be the right action for me to take? And for me, I get instant feedback. It's like my body knows, my soul just knows and gives me that information, you know? So find a way that works for you. If you want more guidance around how to access that soul self or your inner guidance, go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts where we discuss this in more detail, because it will absolutely help you. So moving forward, the takeaways from today in terms of, you know, what should I do about following up and what should I do about re-engaging clients that have disappeared? I believe there are three steps that can support you in taking action, the right action for you and your practice. The first step is knowing what would be the aligned action for you to take, and you do that by tuning in. Does it feel right for me to email my client? Does it feel right for me to follow up with this client? What do I need to do right now? You're probably going to get feedback like create a policy, create a procedure. Yes, give them a call. Yes, connect with them. The second step is to stop emailing people. Start picking up the phone. You are in the business of relationships. You are more skilled than other people in our community who don't have the high level training that you do in building relationships and building rapport. This is one of your gifts. So use it, and don't use it by email, use it by phone, okay? And then step three is to go away, and if you don't have one, create a procedure or a process or a policy around booking appointments and around following up that feels really, really right for you. Okay. And then once you've got those things in place, this is all going to feel much easier, and you'll be able to start to fill your diaries more consistently with appointments. If you have any questions about this, of course, don't hesitate to let me know. I would love to support you with it. If you're a woman in private practice and you love spiritual stuff like this, doing the inner work and getting that inner guidance, then definitely look at heading over to the Private Practice with Soul Women's membership. You are going to love it. It is a paid membership, but you get to hang out with us for a week for free. I think it's for free, or it's $1 or something. Plus there you get to access, of course, not only trainings, but you get to access a library that's growing every day. And it's got, I think, nearly 40 resources in it now to support you in using soul-aligned techniques, tools, and strategies to grow or develop or even start a practice. If you're a counselor, then you can head over to the free group, which is called Australian Counselors in Private Practice Online. That's on Facebook. So you guys can head over there and join. There's little trainings in there and lots of support. And I think you're absolutely going to get so much value out of that. And you can ask all of these sorts of questions and so much more. And just a quick shout out to the most engaged member of the week in that group. So we have 391 members in that group, and I checked the engagement stats this morning. And of those 391 members, 388 had been active in the last 28 days. So I think that's like a new record for Facebook or something. It's so, 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 so good. And I think it really just speaks to how valuable this group has been for counselors. And in that group also we give $50 book depository voucher for the most engaged member to spend on resources for their private practice. And this month's winner, or July's winner, was announced this morning, was Trisha Harris. So congratulations, Trisha. So, 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 so proud of you. Thank you so much for all contributions you make in the group. All right, everybody, I hope you have a really, 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 really beautiful weekend. Love you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.